In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. We'd like to start off our conversation always with inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles, among which would be Mary is the Mother of God, Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Furthermore, when we turn to Mary, we turn to Mary also in the Hail Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to be with us as we get closer and closer to Holy Week, which is right around the corner. And let's ask Mary to help us to be generous in our following of Christ, who is our Lord, our God, and our Savior. So let's pray the prayer that Mary knows and loves most, and that is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. What a great grace it is to have our spiritual director, who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. And St. Paul points out that the Holy Spirit, he's our interior master. St. Paul points out that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so that we can say, Abba, Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect, as well as to give us fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. True, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. How true that is. We come together every day to pray together as a family. Then, as a means of encouragement, I'd like to place you all on the altar. The altar and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And of course, the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer. In this prayer, I'd like to place you on the altar and ask for very special blessings. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would make a sincere, concerted effort to be open to the Holy Spirit. That's right, to be open to the Holy Spirit. And this is a prayer that we can say during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for all your family members, but especially your family members who have walked away from God. I'd like to place them on the altar that they would return. Jesus says, come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you. And finally, I'd like to pray with you a very special prayer for all those who will be dying. within the next 24 hours, that they will be saved. That's right. All those who are dying, that they will be saved. My friends, as Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So those are my prayers. The brief catechetical instruction I'd like to give to you today is the following. It's the importance of making the sign of the cross and knowing why we make it. We make the sign of the cross when we start off all of our prayers as Catholics. We make the sign of the cross with the right hand to the forehead, to the heart, crossing ourselves left to right. We say those words in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've done that, my friends, thousands and thousands of times, but sometimes it can become somewhat mechanical, routine, or even perfunctory. That's right, it becomes something mechanical, routine, or even perfunctory. When you make the sign of the cross, you are professing your belief in a corporeal way in the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. And that is the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. So we truly believe that there is one God and three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, you should also be calling to mind that the Blessed Trinity is not simply in heaven, but also the Blessed Trinity is on earth. And through our baptism, we actually become living temples of the Blessed Trinity. Through baptism, we become a son or daughter of God. Through baptism, we also become a brother or sister to Jesus Christ. Through baptism, we enter into a deep friendship with the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we become a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity. How great God is. Another thing that the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen, reminds us of is what we're about to enter into in a very short time. Is that we make the sign of the cross. That should call to mind what you're looking at now. It's Jesus on the cross. You have a cross of Benedict, the medal of Saint Benedict with the cross. We call to mind the fact that Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He suffered on the cross. He died on the cross. Now, St. Paul points out, he says, he was given over for you and for me. He gave himself up to death for love of you and for me. how precious we are in the eyes of God. So when we make the sign of the cross, my friends, let's call to mind, when we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen, the Trinity, that we are living tabernacles of the Trinity, and also the reality of the cross, that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for love of you and for love of me. How great God's love is for all of us. How great God's love is for each and every one of us. All right. So I'd like to go through the first reading of the gospel and make a and develop a theme from that. We're in the book of Numbers, and Moses has led the Israelites from the slavery to the Egyptians. They've been slaves for the Egyptians for many years. So the Israelites have passed through the Red Sea. And they're bypassing what's called the land of Edom. But their patience is worn out by the journey. And they start to complain about God and Moses. They say, "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the desert where there's no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." So here we have them giving in to impatience and complaining. This often happens in our lives, that we go through tough times and we start to complain. We start to question. Why me? Sometimes we even throw what's called a pity party. Why me? So, as a result of their complaining against God and Moses, who is the representative of God, they were sent by God a seraph serpents and these seraph serpents bit many of the people and the people died. And the people, they go to Moses and they humbly admit that they've sinned in complaining against Moses and the Lord. They say, "Pray that the Lord will take away these seraph serpents." So God tells Moses to do a gesture that's somewhat strange. He tells Moses to make a seraph serpent and mount it on a pole. And to raise that on the pole. And God says, whoever looks at that Sarah serpent mounted on the pole will be healed and will live. So Moses obeyed God, and he makes this bronze serpent and mounts it on a pole. So whenever anyone who had been bitten by one of these serpents, they looked at the bronze serpent, then he lived. This is a typology now. It's a symbol of what will happen to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Good Friday. So it's very important that when we're getting to know the Bible better and better, we have what is called biblical typology or Bible symbols. Biblical typology or Bible symbols. For example, one would be Adam and Eve symbolically represent Jesus and Mary. Another one would be the manna in the desert is a type or a symbol of the Eucharist, Jesus, the bread of life. The Ark of the Covenant is a type of Mary, the Virgin Mary. The slavery in Egyptian is a symbolic of the slavery of sin. So, Moses lifting up the bronze serpent in the desert was symbolic of what you're looking at right now. Jesus lifted up high on the cross. So from John chapter 8 today, the essence of what we're going to be reading through in John chapter 8, I'll give you a summary, is the summary of the biblical passage, the gospel passage today is, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that's Jesus, then you'll know that I am He. So I'd like to do for you today is I'd like to already prepare us for Holy Week, because next Sunday will be Palm Sunday. We'll be reading the Passion of Christ. I'd like to just briefly give you a summary of Jesus lifted up high on the cross. And by being lifted up high on the cross, Jesus is going to speak seven times. He's going to be speaking seven times. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen says that Jesus ascended the pulpit of the cross and he preached his last and most eloquent sermon from the pulpit of the cross. The Venerable Fulton J. Sheen, for many years in the Church of St. Agnes in New York, he gave his famous seven last word homily. And he gave it during Holy Week, sometimes even on Good Friday. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the seven last words and give you I'd like to give you a reflection, a brief meditation on each of the seven last words from the cross. Related to the first reading today and the gospel. And preparing our souls to enter into Holy Week. Enter into Holy Week with goodwill. With goodwill. With goodwill. So the seven last words of Jesus from the pulpit of the cross for your meditation are the following. The first word of Jesus Christ from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's right. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now let's get the context. To get the full impact of those words, we have to rewind the film and see what has happened before Jesus is hanging on the cross, those last 3 hours. Jesus has been abandoned by his best friends. Jesus has been kissed by Judas. Jesus has been arrested. Jesus has been dragged before the court and unjustly accused. Jesus has been brought before Pontius Pilate. Jesus has been stripped and brutally scourged at the pillar. Jesus has been crowned with sharp thorns, piercing his scalp. Jesus has carried the heavy cross, leading to Calvary. Jesus has been nailed in his hands and his feet. Then the first reading in the gospel today, Jesus has been lifted up. As the gospel says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, and you know that I am He. My friends, with that as a background, we enter into the seven last words of Jesus Christ. With that as a background, we enter into the seven last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In those seven last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the first word of Jesus from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. The essential message is that of mercy and forgiveness. As Jesus was offering himself to God the Father as the spotless victim on the cross, he was offering his forgiveness to all of humanity. So if Jesus, after suffering so much, being the innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, if he suffered so much, then I'd like to give you a parallel passage to Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. It is the Our Father, where we say, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? Simply this. All of us have been hurt by others. And probably many times. We've all been hurt by others and probably many times. What Jesus is saying on the cross, relay to our Father, is the following. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That as we draw close to Holy Week, and then the Easter Triduum, we should make an effort to forgive those who have hurt us. We should make an effort to forgive those who have hurt us. And what that means is, if we want to be forgiven by God, then we have to forgive our brothers and sisters that have hurt us. Forgiveness, I mean, friends, is not, it doesn't depend upon emotions. And forgiveness does not mean that I have to reconcile with that person. I could forgive that person, but maybe that person does not want to have contact with me. So forgiveness is an act of the will in which I say, Lord, I forgive John, who has really hurt me. I forgive him. And I ask you to bless him. You've done your part. You've done your part. But those words of Jesus Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Have a universal impact because we've all been hurt. One of the worst things we can do is not to forgive. By not forgiving, we're holding back God's forgiveness for ourselves. And we don't forgive, that means we're holding on to resentment. We're holding on, we're clinging to resentment. In what acid is to the stomach, so resentment is to the soul. If you have excessive acid in your stomach, that's going to perforate your intestines and you're going to have an ulcer. So many people have ulcers in their soul. Jesus came to set the captives free. How true. He came to set the captives free. And there are many negative effects to our holding on to resentment. I'd like to, if you could collaborate with me, I'd like to make a karyota dynamic that I heard years ago done by a Protestant pastor, Adrian Rogers. And he gave this dynamic to show really what lack of forgiveness causing resentment does to us. And the pastor said to stretch out your hands. You might even do this with me. Then 1, 2, 3, make a fist. Don't open yet. Tight. Make the fist a little bit tighter. Don't open up yet. Few more seconds. Make a tight, tight fist. Few more seconds. Are you doing it? A little bit longer. Okay, now open up your hands. How do you feel now? If you're collaborating with me in that dynamic, when you had your fist closed, all of you are experiencing an interior tension. You're experiencing a lot of inner tension. But once you're able to open up your hands, what did you experience? Freedom. That's why Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, we've come to set captives free. So for some of you have done the dynamic with me, Mary Jo and Julia, it's a pretty good dynamic. I heard this from a Protestant pastor about 25 years ago. And I'll sometimes pick some ideas from many preachers, even Protestant pastors. So once we were able to open up those hands, we felt a real release. A real release. You might even utilize that dynamic with your family, friends, your relatives, that maybe they're holding on to past resentments. Holding on to past resentments. And of course, past resentment, holding on to resentment and anger, not forgiving. If you're an extrovert, then it's manifested by angry words, bitterness, and chismes, as they say in Spanish, gossip. If you're an introvert, unresolved conflict and resentment turns into depression. And if you're a mixture of an extrovert and introvert, you're a depressed, angry person. How many depressed, angry persons are out there now? So many. So many. So many angry, depressed, better people are out there because they simply don't want to forgive. They're holding on to past resentment, which often is related to pride and egotism. Instead of theology, it's meology. Instead of the Blessed Trinity, it's the earthly, the egotistic Trinity. Me, myself, and I. Hopefully you like my expressions. So Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now and then I'll like to quote some of the literature, having a literary background. And one of the Catholic poets from England, his name is Alexander Pope. He is not the Pope, but he was a Catholic English poet. He's got a one-liner that I really like, and I think it's going to hit home for most of you. Alexander Pope says this: to err is human, to forgive is divine. That's Alexander Pope. To err is human, to forgive is divine. To err is human, to forgive is divine. It's a story of a funeral. In which there was a older man that had passed away, and during the funeral mass, next to the coffin, there could be seen another elderly man. Another elderly man, and he was weeping profusely during the mass. He's weeping profusely during the Mass. So after the Mass, the priest went down to the man before the burial, and he asked him, "Sir, was that someone that was a family member?" The man said, "Yes, he was my only brother." Priest said, "I offer you my condolences." But the man said, "The problem was this, is that we were not talking for about 50 years. And I was planning to reconcile with him, but he died before it happened." Then with great prudence and discretion, the priest asked the man, what was the reason for the conflict and the division between you and your brother?" And the surviving brother said, "Father, I don't even remember." How often has it happened in our lives that we end up by separating ourselves from our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones, or our colleagues because of something that is really insignificant. That's why this I'm expounding upon this, because of all the words of Jesus, that's the first word he says from the cross, of his seven last words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This past Saturday, I had two weddings. And in the wedding homily, one of the things I'll often say to the couple shortly before they exchange their vows, I say to them, these are three short expressions that you should be expressing to each other very often in your married life. They say you should learn how to say, I love you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. That's right. I love you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. The two pillars of the spiritual life, love and humility. The two pillars, love and humility. Because the Bible, the Old Testament, says this. Do not allow the sun to go down on your anger. That's right. Do not allow the sun to go down on your anger. That same pastor that gave us the dynamic said this. If you go to bed angry at your spouse or angry at another person, that anger that you're holding on to is like a snake. But it's a female snake that will hatch other baby snakes. So you wake up with a series of little serpents that are growing within the inner garden of your heart. Wow! Strong words. So these are strong words, but they're all related to what Jesus said from the cross. What Jesus said from the cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Some of you are already responding to our conversation, and Rosemary said, amen, such a hard thing to do without prayer. That's a very good comment, because in our spiritual life, in our spiritual life. There is what is called natural, our natural life and our supernatural life. Our natural life and our supernatural life. What would that be? Okay, on a natural plane, we can eat a hamburger. We don't have to be baptized. We can dig a hole. We don't have to be baptized. We can wash the dishes. We don't have to be baptized. We can smoke a cigarette. We don't have to be baptized. You can procreate children. You don't have to be baptized. You can take a drive in your car. You don't have to be baptized. So for us, as followers of Christ, by being baptized, it's not sufficient simply to live a natural life. We have to live a supernatural life. So a supernatural life is we're practicing virtue on a higher plane, and we have to be imbued by the grace of God so that we can practice supernatural virtues. And I mentioned three. One would be to be able to live out the virtue of chastity. The second would be to practice humility. And the third would be to, what we're talking about now in the first word, is to forgive. To forgive those who have hurt us. And I'd just like to call to mind for all of us, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. And he's hanging on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. After this excruciating agony that he's gone through, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So I'd like to give you this advice, that as we contemplate Jesus hanging on the cross, from the Gospel today where Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He. Related also to the first reading taken from the book of Numbers, where Moses is commanded to lift up the seraph on the crotch of the tree. My friends, take it for granted. Take it for granted that all of us are living in a world where people are going to hurt us, and we hurt them too. That we will always be challenged by our Lord, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We're always going to be challenged to think about Christ on the cross and think about those words that we pray in the Our Father. The Our Father has seven petitions, and one of these petitions is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Years ago, I lived with a priest named Father Al Hall, and he said this in one of his homilies. you don't want to forgive your brother, then you shouldn't pray the Our Father. Strong words. See, and if you don't want to forgive your brother that hurt you, then you really shouldn't be praying the Our Father, because you're saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, my friends, we've had a very good conversation today on a very difficult topic. And we didn't get through the seven words of our Lord on the cross. We just got through one of those seven last words. Remember the words of Alexander Pope: to forgive, rather, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. And remember the words of Jesus: be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. But you to share this talk with many of your friends, because many of our friends are also struggling with this. May God bless you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.